Really, really tired and interested in my mattress up here. Well, I see one hand in the back.
Is it good with the lights?
Yeah, that should be good.
Can you adjust the camera mic, please?
Nope. Yeah, give me a second. Online, can you guys see the PowerPoint all right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so all of you readers out there, what do you think we're gonna talk about today? If you say naps, I'll be disappointed. Aaron, go ahead.
Working together.
Okay, working together, yep, that's a good answer. Definitely talking about that. What else? For whose benefit? You guys know what that means? Who's benefit?
No.
No? Maybe somebody can explain. Abby?
Benefit is like who should get it and stuff.
Yeah.
And God.
Yeah. So we're gonna work together for His good. And Aaron?
Ours.
Okay. So it's important to understand that when we work together, especially when we're reading the Bible or learning about God, we want to know how we can work to His good or for His good, right? So how do we do that? You can blurt out an answer, anybody that knows. How do we know how to do His good? God's good. The Bible? Yeah, it's a good answer. I see most of you have a Bible on your laps.
Reading the Bible and helping people.
Yep, we're going to get to that. Reading His Bible, or reading His good book, the Word of God tells us how we can work together for His good and
ours.
Thank you. If you guys didn't catch on, this is going to be very interactive today. There's going to be a lot of questions, and I want a lot of answers, okay? Yes? Yes? Big knots. Big knots. Really big. Oh, boy. Stand up. I want to see some really big nods. I want everybody awake and ready to go, okay? So we're not doing these little nods like this, okay? This is only moving my head. I don't like that. We're going to do whole body nods. Ready? Don't hit the table. Yes. All right. I think we're awake now. You can sit down. All right. We're going to do a lot of reading, but it's going to be important to listen to the reading and understand it, okay? That's an important thing about knowing how to do God's good, right? Doing His work?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Stand up.
Yes.
We're still asleep in the chairs.
Yes.
All right. Ready? Fingers up. And one. And two. And one, and two, and one, and two, and one, and two. We're awake. Yes?
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Try again. So it's important to understand what God's Word says so we know how to do His work, right?
Yeah!
Ah, they're awake. Okay, Philippians. I want you guys all to be looking. Where is Philippians? New Testament or Old Testament? I'm not hearing it.
New Testament.
Okay. Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 25. I'll start reading. You guys keep looking. But I want you listening while you're looking. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. That's a big name. Does anybody remember who Epaphroditus is? We've talked about him a couple times here. Was he a good person or a bad person? Anybody? I'll open up to the kids at heart. David, was he a good person or a bad person? I got a thumbs up. That's a good. Epaphroditus was a good person. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. But your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. So this is Paul talking to the church at Philippi, and he's saying Epaphroditus is somebody that I consider a fellow worker, a soldier, and my brother. So he's a really good friend of Paul. He really likes Epaphroditus, but he's the messenger from Philippi to Paul, right? Right? Right?
Right.
Right. Okay. Why was it important to send a messenger to Paul? Why would it be important to receive a messenger of God's word? Think about how we are here today. Why is it important to receive a message from God's people or from God's word? Why is it important? What do you think, Aaron?
It's important because...
All right, let me set a little bit more context. Paul is in prison. Is prison a happy place?
No.
Oh, so why was it important to have a messenger bring God's word to Paul who's in prison?
Because Paul couldn't bring it to Paul.
He couldn't bring it to the people, but he came to Paul. So why was it important for Epaphroditus to come to Paul? Maybe to encourage him? To help him? Pretty dismal place in prison. Okay, we're going to keep reading. Since he, Epaphroditus, was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So this guy was so worried about everybody else finding out he was sick, he didn't want them to know. And that's a bad thing. We're going to find out why. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Is it sad when somebody that believes in God dies? Yeah. Why is it sad, though?
Because then you won't have anybody.
Because he was a believer.
Because he was a believer, yep. But why would that be sad? What do you think, Deb?
Because he's going away from
the believer. Yeah, so sometimes when a believer dies, it feels like you're losing a piece of your own heart or a piece of your own body. The Bible tells us that we are all members of one body, but we all have different purposes, right? We all have different works and functions, right? So when somebody dies, it's like, uh-oh. Hold on. Yeah, I got a sleeve on. I can do this. Ah! I lost my hand. So somebody dies, it's almost like you lost a hand, right? So Paul would have been very sad if Epaphroditus would have died, because Epaphroditus was serving a very important purpose to Paul. Okay? So how does this relate to working together? Let's keep reading. I sent him more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ, for the work of God, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So Epaphroditus, again, was serving a very important purpose to bring encouragement to Paul. He was doing a work, right? So he was working with another person. What do you got here? Okay, well then just listen, okay? What, Ian?
It was that why it's sad when the person dies, because then you won't have anybody to teach you about Jesus.
Yep, like I said, it's almost like you lose a part of yourself when somebody important dies, right? So a lot of times we regard other Bible teachers in high regard because they have an understanding of God's word, right? But that's why it's important for us to also learn and understand God's word. Right? Ian? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Epaphroditus was working with another person, right? He came to Paul. He was working with the church at Philippi. Look at that. They're all happy working together. You guys, are you happy when you work with another person?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm seeing some questionable looks.
Yeah.
If you are raking leaves in the yard, is it more fun to have somebody helping you or is it more frustrating to have somebody work with you?
Fun.
It's more fun?
Fun.
Oh, it's worse? Did I hear it worse?
Fun.
Oh.
Fun.
Rena, take note. She likes working by herself. So it's more fun to work with somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Well, they don't look like they're getting along, though. And they look like they work together. Has that ever happened to you? You're working with somebody and all of a sudden... Why did you take my rake? Why'd you take the bag? How come you're not over here raking these leaves? I'm over there. You go over there. Has that ever happened? I should see a lot of... Let's be honest. What?
That's fine.
That's fine? But what if... So, these guys aren't happy, but they work together. I thought if we work together, we're happy, right? That's what I heard from most of you. Most of you. So most of you thought it was happy and fun to work with somebody else, right?
Sometimes.
Okay, that's a good, honest answer. Sometimes it's not, though, right? Sometimes it's frustrating. And then you start pointing fingers at each other. Well, let's look at another passage. Romans chapter 12, New Testament or Old Testament?
Old Testament.
New Testament. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. We're going to learn about love.
I love my wife.
But this is a different kind of love, okay? This isn't the mom and dad love. This is the love your brother love, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 9. I'm going to read through it kind of quick, so pay attention. Let love be without hypocrisy. All right, I guess I'm not going to read through it quickly. What does hypocrisy mean? What do you think? I'll make it really simple. Doing the opposite of what you say you're going to do. That'd be hypocrisy. I'll give an example. Aaron, I would like for you to have this pen. Okay, here you go. Nope, it's mine. Can't have it. See? Really simple. It's doing something opposite of what you say or intend to do. Okay, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, or reject what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. There's a whole list of stuff that we're going through here, right? Can anybody name one thing from that list I just read?
I can't.
Gotta be paying attention. What do you think, Abby? One thing. What? Kindly, being kindly to one another, yep, that's a good thing to do. Rejoicing with one another, being patient when it's difficult, being steadfast in prayer. Okay, bless those who persecute you. You know what that means? What does it mean?
It means to, like, be nice to people or be mean to kill.
Perfect. Good answer. Bless and do not curse. So if somebody does something bad to you, you should curse them.
No.
No, I should see a lot of heads going this way. No. Full body, shoulders and all. Like washing machines, the old ones. All right, so we should be blessing those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep for those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. So what does it mean to focus on high things? Does it mean to focus on that ceiling fan right there? That's a high thing. I can't reach that. That's pretty high. Is that what it means?
No.
No. What does it mean?
Focus on gold and silver.
That's a good answer. Be focused on not the high things, not the things that the earth is offering us, but the things of God. I heard it. Okay? Do not be wise in your own opinion. Who can tell me the difference between a fact and an opinion?
A fact is something that's true and that it's like everyone believes it. And then an opinion is like horses are the best animals. Like some people will like that and then some people will not. I actually wrote a fact and opinion essay.
Perfect. I like it. It's a good answer. I will say one additional thing with that. Most of the time, if not all the time, facts have evidence to support them, right? Because you can't argue with a fact. We absolutely know that it is true. So I like that, though. Very good, Abby. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Is that saying that vengeance is all of ours? If we take out the vengeance, do you know what vengeance means? It means going after that person that did wrong to me and taking everything that they have, as much as I can. So is that our job?
No.
No,
it's Jesus'.
Yeah, God. Good job. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the
Lord.
Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, lock him up and throw him in prison.
No.
What? But that's what we do to bad people, right? And if they're an enemy of you or me, they're a bad person, right? I've seen a lot of no's, but they're not the washing machine no's that I was hoping for. Oh, there we go. We got some washing machines. Good. So it says, if your enemy is hungry, not all at once. If your enemy is hungry,
feed him.
Thank you, David. If he is thirsty,
give him a drink.
Give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. What does that mean? Does that mean that if you're thirsty and you're my enemy, Ian, and I give you a drink of water, your head's going to start on fire? Is that what it means? Is that what it means?
No.
No? But that's what it says. It says if I give my enemy a drink, it's like heaping coals of fire on his head.
It's like that.
Oh, so you're saying that if I do something nice to somebody that doesn't like me, that it's going to make them more angry?
No!
Happy!
Happy? I think it would make them very confused.
Yeah! Confused!
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what does that have to do with working together? There's a lot of verses to unpack. Here, I'll give you the short version. How are we supposed to treat everybody around us?
Kindly and nice and love.
Love.
Holy Spirit.
That's a very good answer. The one word I was looking for is love, and I'll add two more. One another.
Joy.
That's another good answer. Honor one another. What does that mean? What does honor one another mean? Mr. Sean Zwankowski had explained it last month. What does it mean? What do you think, Abby?
Like, to be nice and like, you honor God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
What do you think? To outdo them. So, in every good thing, to outdo them. Serve the Lord, be patient praying, humble, spend time with the humble. Don't repay evil for evil, but with good. Live peaceably with everybody, and don't be consumed by good.
Evil,
I heard it. Very good, you're paying attention. Don't be overcome or consumed by evil. What does that mean?
Like,
If I'm playing with my toys and my brother comes along and he steals my favorite toy that I got sitting right over here, he takes it, am I going to be mad? Should I scream and yell at him?
Yeah.
Do I scream and yell at him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I unfortunately do sometimes. But that's not the right answer, right? Because I'm being consumed by a small thing. Did he break my toy?
No.
No, he took it. Could I ask for my toy back?
Yeah.
Will he give it back? Yeah. Maybe, but is it that important? I had it sitting over here, and I was playing with these toys over here. So is it really that big of a deal?
No. You weren't even playing with it.
I'll get out. It's okay, bro. Sis. It's okay. Do good. Not bad. Oh, wait a minute. That looks like my brother. He's stealing my hubcaps. That's not very nice.
Nice.
Oh, we just talked about this. All right, there it is. Don't be shellfish.
Shellfish.
Oh. Sorry. Selfish. What does that mean? Don't be selfish. I'm going to get Perry an answer.
Like wanting everything for yourself.
Yeah. Greedy. Wanting it all for yourself. What do you think, Ian? What does selfish mean?
Don't be mean to them. Like, be no, that's
nice. Yep, that would
and
also be in that.
Toy,
yep.
Even
all right, we got a couple of verses. Philippians. So we were there before. Philippians 2, verse 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem or regard or treat others better than himself. Sorry, this should be 3 and 4. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for your own wants. Is that what it says? Let me read it correctly. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So how does that break up this selfishness? If you're looking out not only for yourself, but for somebody else, does that force you to be selfless? Less of yourself?
Yeah.
Yep, so it helps. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the
Lord.
Well, scriptures, the Bible, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. Now, I said it earlier kind of joking, but can anybody read what this says?
Sharing is caring.
I heard it.
Sharing.
Sharing is caring, right? What are they doing here? What's this guy doing? It's kind of hard to see. So these guys are all laying on the ground and he's got another guy in a headlock. What's he doing?
Fighting.
Yeah, I think he's fighting. He's probably defending himself, right? So this guy, he's getting up off the ground. What does this say?
Watch my back.
Watch my back. So you think he's going to watch his back?
No.
Now I apologize for those of you that know what movie this is from, because the next part is this guy watches him get punched in the back twice. Is that helpful? So you think maybe he should have said, hey, somebody's coming up behind you. probably would have been a good answer. Sorry, I gotta throw a pun in here every now and then. I'm so bored. I really wish something fun would come along. Yeah, because it's a board, and it's wood, and it's bored. Okay. So, don't be selfish. The verses we read, we should be looking out for each other, right? Not just ourselves. And we should also be like-minded to one another. Does that mean that we have to agree on everything? Does that mean that if you want to play with Legos and you want to play with cars, you can't be friends?
No.
No, you can.
You can be?
Yeah, because you can play together.
But then you're not like-minded because your mind says Legos, your mind says cars. You're not like-minded. Or what is it talking about when it says like-minded? I see most of you holding one of these books.
It's playing together.
What do you think, Ed?
The Bible.
The Bible. Be like-minded in the Bible. So, how do we get saved? A lot of crickets. How do we get saved? What?
Be like-minded in the Bible?
No. But there is a very clear gospel that's found in the Bible. There we go. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So we can be like-minded in understanding that the gospel is the most important thing out of the Bible for us, right? Why would it be important? It tells us how to be saved, right? That's pretty important. So that's where it's talking about being like-minded, having an understanding of God's word to know what God wants to do for us or what he wants us to do for him. Right? Full body yeses. I should see a lot of them. There we go. We got some whiplash again. All right. I'm sure you guys noticed that this board probably got a little bit bored. And he probably started complaining, or complanking. Sorry, I'll stop with the wood plants. Does that ever happen to you guys when you're doing something? You just get so bored. Can't believe I'm still cleaning my room. I wish that someone wouldn't have messed up my room so bad. Oh, wait, that was me. Ever figure out that you're complaining sometimes about your own self? It's kind of funny, isn't it? You like to complain. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14.
And 16.
Through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing. All right, case closed. No more complaining. All right, we'll keep reading. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So this group of verses, it doesn't just say, don't complain. It gives you a reason. Anybody catch the reason? Let me read it again. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and corrupt generation, or perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How many of you have ever done a very, 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 very dirty job?
Me, I picked up the trash today. It's my chore every morning.
Oh. Did you spill the trash first and have to pick it up one piece at a time?
Nope.
Oh. Well, that'd been very, very dirty. So you guys have all done a dirty job, right?
Yeah. Like
did you complain about it?
No.
No.
I would think that some of you complained about it.
I didn't.
Now let's think about this. If somebody came in and saw you doing that dirty job, and all they see is you just think that's good?
No.
You think you're they want to be like you or around you?
No.
No. Because you're complaining, but you're not doing it vocally or with your voice. You're doing it with your actions. You're throwing a fit, aren't you? So when it says to be a light in the world, it means be different. Shine out. Do that job without complaining, without grumbling, without being frustrated and throwing things on the ground, trying to break stuff, because if I break it, I don't have to do it, right? Yeah. This guy needs help. This guy can't reach him. This guy's probably complaining. But these two, they're not complaining. They understand. This guy, he needs help. And we're going to help this guy help this guy. Right?
Yeah!
If they all complain, do you think this guy's getting up?
Yeah.
I don't know. He'd probably go about here and then down there.
Climbing up.
Yeah, he's trying, though, but he needs a helping hand, see? They're just out of reach, but this person's helping hold him, and that person's holding them, and that one's complaining about everything.
He's complaining about the world.
Is this person helping?
No.
They're too busy complaining. Be a light. Do something different. Don't be the complainer. Be the one that's helping out. What can I do to help? I would be glad to help you take out the trash. I would be glad to scrape out the chicken coop. I don't want to. We read about the last verse, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Why are you running? What's the purpose? We're going to go through some of these a little bit faster because I got a lot of verses. Comforting each other. So here's some verses if you want to look at them later. We're not going to go through all of these. We'll read some of the shorter ones. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How many times did I say comfort, or comforted, or comforting, or comfortable? It was a lot. Yeah? I'm not going to tell you because I didn't come to you. But it's a lot. It's important to understand that sometimes we go through difficult things like chores and work and cleaning and other things that we may not like, but guess what? It helps you to help someone else because now you know how to do it. And you might actually learn how not to do it, and that's another thing that can be a help to somebody else and a comfort to somebody else. This person's sad, walk along and help them. If you notice somebody's not doing well, come alongside, help them out. Working for Jesus, Matthew 11, here's the typo, 28 through 30. How many of you know this verse? Matthew 11, 28 through 30, a couple verses. I see some nods from the children at heart. Come to me, Jesus speaking, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
Oh, I must have a typo. Mine says work. Take my yoke. I don't have any yegs. Upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What kind of yoke is he talking about? Is it egg yolks?
No.
Oh. Okay, what kind of yoke?
Like, you know.
Anybody?
There's yoke like on cows.
On cows?
Yeah. And like, it's like a
pie-shaped
thing, and that's probably what
they call it. Okay. I get it. So a yoke is something... Aaron, come here. Come here. So a yoke would be like if Aaron and I put our arms up around each other's shoulders, like this, put your arm up over my shoulder, and then we work together, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we're trying to push something heavy with our shoulders, or we're trying to hold up a beam across our shoulders. We're working together, right? So we're yoked together. So in the Bible passage, thank you. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. For my yoke is easy and the burden is light. Now, some of you don't know what a yoke is, but the yoke is designed to split the load evenly on the animals that are yoked together, right? But Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that mean? Does that mean that we do equal parts to Jesus?
No.
No, I should see a lot of wash machines out there. There we go. Ooh, wash machine so hard the glasses flew off. No. Jesus has already done the work. He's asking us to come up and help him do some of the work here, such as, do you know your Bible? Do you share God's word with other people? It's important to know the Bible.
Yes.
The reason for it. Okay?
We could just tell them.
How is this working for Jesus? Let's assume these guys are not brothers. How would this be considered doing some work for Jesus or work for God? What do you think, Aaron?
By being helpful,
yeah.
Helping each other.
So maybe he was carrying all three bags and then he saw his friend or neighbor or whoever walking down the street and was like, you know what, he's carrying three bags, he's struggling. Maybe I should just go out and help him. Now they're walking along, and I know, Aaron, I know you particularly. You walk in absolute perfect silence everywhere we go.
No!
No. What do you do when you walk with someone?
I talk.
You talk.
I talk.
I think they're talking. What do you think? Think they're talking? I think they're talking. You think they could maybe be talking about the Bible?
Yeah.
Pretty easy thing to do. What about these people? What do you think they're doing? I see some water bottles there. I see someone in a wheelchair.
Doing crafts.
Crafts? I don't know. I think it's a little more serious than crafts.
Giving away water.
They're giving away water. Why would they do that?
Because in other countries, some people have to walk miles and miles to get water. So maybe they're just helping out and they walk miles to get water and then they start selling it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not even selling. Maybe they're just giving it out for free.
Looks like to me they're just giving it away. How many of you guys heard about the hurricanes that hit the southeast of our country? Pretty devastating, right? People didn't have power, they were flooded. What happened? Everybody just had to clean up all their own mess? That was your house, not my house. I'm not cleaning up your house.
No.
No, what happened? It's hard to read, but on each of these people's shirts, there's a word on it. Can anybody read what that word is?
Volunteer.
How is that working for Jesus?
Helping.
Somebody here needs help. What do you do?
You help them.
That's your problem.
No. Help them.
Okay. You help them. All right. Be like-minded towards each other. And we're going to probably skip through this one. But Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, it says to be like-minded to one another according to yourself.
No.
According to Jesus. Look at it. Does it mean that we have to do everything exactly the same and give each other the same gifts because we know that I like it, therefore you like it?
No.
These two dogs gave each other a bone. Look, I got you the same thing. We're like-minded. No, we already covered this. It means that we don't always have to get along, so they're punching each other's fists, but look at their thumbs are shaking hands. So they don't always agree. But they can still get along.
Where's their head?
I don't know, probably somewhere over here. But we don't just need to do all the work, right?
Resting.
I like to rest next to a campfire. You might like to rest in a hammock at the beach. But guess what? God planned that we would rest. Who remembers the creation story? How many days did God work? Anybody, how many days?
Six.
He worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he worked extra.
Rested.
He rested himself. He gave us the example that we can also rest from work. We don't always have to be busy. Now, if we work together, we should celebrate together, right?
Yeah.
Now I want to read this verse, and I know we're getting late on time, but you guys have been very, very good. And I actually do have an activity I'd like to do, and it'll only take 5 minutes, so we're going to rush through this one. John chapter 4, verse 31 through 38. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say there is still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So one person did the planting, the other person did the harvesting. But what did they do?
They rejoiced together.
Now this Bible passage, is it talking about actually planting a field?
No.
No, what is it talking about? Think higher. Think about your own soul. Kind of, you're in the right thought. Somebody who shares the gospel a lot of times is called a planter. Somebody who helps plant the seeds of the gospel or God's good news. Sometimes when you hear the word, the good news, you don't accept it right away, but guess what? Somebody else comes along and they help their understanding and show them why it's important to be saved. So they would be considered somebody that does the reaping. For us, we only do the sowing, and God is the one who harvests the souls. We don't save men's souls. God does that work. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. It means that we all have a job, we all work together, and we all have the same goal of bringing other people to salvation, because it's what God wants us to do. So, all of you, thank you. All of you have been curious about my mattress up here. And I bet you all know exactly what a mattress is for.
I do.
Sleeping.
No, they're for pillow fights.
No, they are not pillows.
Okay. So, there was this fun thing that I did when I was in middle school-ish, and I heard that my mom had done this in the Girl Scouts, and my sister had done this, I think, as part of 4-H camp a couple years. So we're going to do some work. Oh, good. I didn't hear any groaning. I like this. Okay. Yeah, you guys are doing very good at not complaining about this work. So I need my voluntold, Aaron. Okay. I'm gonna move this out of the way. Well, don't pop it.
I did.
You're gonna find out how fast I can make this a pillow fight. You didn't bring a pillow.
No.
All right, lay on your back. Your other back. There you go. Okay.
I don't have two backs.
Feet together. Cross your arms. All right. Now all of you kids, come up here. Okay, you need to spread all around him. Okay? All right. Now I want all of you, hold up your hands and keep 2 fingers up on each hand. Okay? Turn your hands over. And now we're going to pick them up. Just with 2 fingers on each hand. Oh, no, no, no. We got to work together. Nope, you can't grab. You got to use 2 fingers only, Jocelyn. All right. On the count of three, we're going to slowly work together to pick them up. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Slowly. Oh, easy, easy. Slowly. Yep. Look at that. We work together, and now We don't drop him. Bring him back down. And now we can rejoice. Yay! We picked him up. We did the work together. Good job. See, we all worked together and we all had different parts to pick up, right? Because if we all picked up his head, what would we do? What would happen? We'd go like this, right? If we all just picked up the shoe. If we all picked him up in the middle like this. See, we all had to spread the work, right? We had to work together. All right, good job. Thank you. No, I didn't bring the other side. No, I just didn't have it. All right. Should we close in prayer? Sit down, please. Go sit down, please. Go sit down, please. All right. Lord, thank you again for giving us your word that we can read it. Thank you that you have given us the ability to understand. We pray that you would help us to understand. Each of us is different. You have given us all different abilities, different thoughts. We just pray that we would be like-minded in your word, understanding to help one another, being patient with one another, not being given to evil, but repaying evil with good. We thank you again for the work on the cross. We thank you for all these young minds and the attention. We just pray that you would be with us through the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Because I didn't want anyone else to get hurt. We can do it at home. Okay? Okay.